Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Chill Factor Radio. It is Wednesday with Ann Canfield, Finding Strength. If you missed any of the topics that Ann has got for us, you can definitely check her out now on Pandora, iHeart, and many different platforms here on the Chill Factor Radio. Her link to her page is also up on the chillfactor.net radio. Hello, Ann, how are you?
I am doing amazing today in Connecticut. So life is good.
Good. That's positive. We want that, right?
So, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm really excited about today's topic because it is about navigating work relationships. And I have to ask, Kathleen, do you recall in all of your years of even, I know you worked in healthcare, do you remember kind of those work relationships? And the easy ones and the hard ones and the in-between ones, do you have some recollection of that world?
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. And, there are the three topics. Yes, definitely. Getting along with your coworkers in the healthcare field, per se, if you will. Yes, definitely coexisting and helping others along the way. Those are definitely factors.
Good. So in a sense, being at work is kind of like being in a family setting, right? We're there to serve each other's needs as we grow and change. And there is this pecking order that ends up being in the workplace, whether we are very highly recognizing it or we're not, but it does exist in some way. There is some type of pecking order of, you know, where we stand and who our colleagues are. Who are the people that are working above us that have more kind of rank, so to speak, and then those that we kind of are managing. So there's people that we are giving resources to and people that we're asking for resources. The reason why I bring this up is because what this episode is about is for every one of us to recognize that we are a leader, regardless of what our name tag states. And we each should recognize that we are a leader because we can offer resources regardless of where we stand in the workplace. Leadership is not about being the best. It's about making others better. And as being a leader, the objective is that each of us give a safe space for other people to come to be helpful, even when we are needing something ourselves, but our position should not change. And we are kind, caring people, and we are the kind of people that seek first to understand and to recognize, to identify issues, but also to be honest and authentic. As I always say, everybody should be wearing their hat and always show up humble, authentic and transparent, regardless of what is sitting on the other side of the desk and regardless of how that person presents themselves to you. So to make this a little bit more relatable, I am going to put this in the perspective of breeds of dogs. And I know that kind of sounds kind of odd, but I am a dog owner. I've had several types of dogs in my world. And when I look at people in the workplace, sometimes I kind of see these attributes come out. So we're first going to talk about what I like to call the pit bulls that are at work, these pit bull personalities. And these are the people that get a hold of something and they have a need to control it. Not only do they have a need to control the information and the reports, but they also want to control your role with them. They want to really be sure that you know they're on top of you and they're the ones who are going to nag you and tell you what they need and how they need it. And for you, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating because there's a lot of miscommunication because, again, being a pit bull, they might not communicate as well as you want them to. And you might be feel bombarded with requests. So I have to ask you, have you ever had anybody like this in the workplace?
Oh, yes, most definitely. The higher up, like you said, that has definitely happened. Taking control of a lot of stuff. Yeah,
exactly. So you know about these pit bulls that are in the workplace, right? Like they just get a hold of something and they just don't want to let it go. And they want to be sure that you know they're in control of it. So that's the first one. The second one is I like to call the Yorkies that are in the workplace. And I used to have a Yorkie. Her name was Zoe, and we loved her. And the Yorkies are the ones that are kind of standoffish, and you don't always get the information you need, and they don't volunteer any information. They wait for you to ask for it. So they're distant and they're standoffish, and the relationship isn't good. The relationship isn't bad. It's just meh. It's in the middle. But the challenge is you have to really dig deep and you have to pull information out of them to get your job done. They're not volunteering anything, but they hoard the information. They have it all. These are the people that know a lot, have a lot of knowledge, but they're keeping their lips kind of sealed until you say, by the way, do you have XYZ or I need this? And then all of a sudden you find out, wow, they have all the information I need. I could just go to them and they could give it to me. And the reason why I say it's a Yorkie is because I used to have a Yorkie who would steal everything. She'd steal it, she'd hoard it, but then you look at her and she wouldn't talk about it. Yeah, what? There's something? There, I take something? No, I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. So these are the Yorkies of the workplace, right? Now, Kathleen, and working in the healthcare field, did you have people like this that kind of were had all of it but didn't kind of give you what you needed sometimes?
Absolutely. Yeah, people that lots of different people have done this to me.
Yeah.
But you have to find a way to coexist.
Exactly. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about. And then there's the poodles in the workplace. These are the tail wagging, loving coworkers who you are helpful to them. They want to play fetch with you. You help them, they help you, and there's this mutual beautiful relationship. And like we talked about, the goal is for you to be able to always stay the same, regardless of whether it's a pit bull, a Yorkie, or a poodle, whether no matter who's on the other side. And when we look at the pit bulls and we start with them, we want to talk about the fact of you looking at it from their perspective, that how have they gotten to be that way? And when you look at it from their perspective, they've had a hard life. They might have had dysfunction. They might be that way because they have been bullied. They are defensive. They are insecure in a sense. And when we talk about positive neuroplasticity, their amygdala is constantly firing and they're constantly seeing danger and threats everywhere, which is why to you, they're kind of like barking at you and they're kind of really strong personality because for them, you might hurt them, you might threaten them, you might not be helpful to them. And they see that. And the goal is for you to recognize that if you're a leader, your goal is to stay true and to be kind, to be authentic, and to let them lead in a sense of when you can. And being able to go to them and saying, hey, by the way, Mary, I really am looking to help this process. Can you help me with this process? Give them some of that control that they're looking for that works for you so that you can work with them instead of saying, no, I want it the way I want it. She needs to do it my way. Instead, recognize and be vulnerable enough to let them share their knowledge and let them teach you and let them take that a little bit of the initiative. Because then, as a leader, you're seeking first to understand and you're doing that in a consistent manner. Because your perspective should not change, because every person that you deal with, whether it be a pit bull or a poodle or a Yorkie, you're the one who's going to show up and be like, let me understand what's going on. Help me help you. Like, what can we do to partner on this situation that we have, and being able to work with that? Because the goal is that as a leader, you don't need to change, but we definitely want you to recognize that just because they're coming at you doesn't mean that you need to shut down or feel threatened by any means. Open arms. What can we do to make this better? How can I help you? What do you need? Right? Giving them that a little bit, because again, recognizing from their perspective, there's a reason of how that came to be and how they became hardened, right? And it might be in their nature and whatnot. So being that leader and asking those questions of what is at the root of this challenge? How can we make this work? And I actually did a podcast episode regarding the fact of handling, mastering and navigating difficult conversations, then that's what you're kind of going back to, of listening to that concept of how do we open up that dialogue. So it's the objective and understanding the expectation is for them to feel like they've got a safe space when they talk to you and when they meet with you, asking those questions versus feeling that you're, you know, below and you don't have any of that control and being vulnerable with them. So the Yorkies are amazing because the Yorkies are kind of the opposite, right? Like they don't give you the information. You're kind of like, well, if I needed it, they would give it to you. Again, going back to that idea that as a leader, you're seeking first to understand. And sometimes the Yorkies will kind of look at you and they don't say much. And you're like, well, they're not really engaging with me. Ask the questions, open up. Hey, by the way, do you think you have this information? By the way, I want to confirm this is what we're doing, and get them to engage and bring them out. And as a kind person, as a leader, you're going to be showing up that way and building that relationship with them. Build that relationship with them, just like you would with a pit bull, and you get to know it, by the way, or your grandkids. Did you see your grandkids this weekend? How was that cruise ship that you went on 2 weeks ago? I know you hadn't mentioned it. Build that relationship with them a little bit, letting them know it's a safe space for you to open up because I'm a caring, kind person, and I am interested, and I sincerely want to know how you're doing as a human being, as a person, and being able to know that. Kind of like the pit bulls and looking at what their past is. Think about those Yorkies of somebody who feels like, if I give this information to you, I'm actually might be giving away where I'm not needed anymore. Have you ever worked with somebody who you felt like they don't give any information away because they're feeling like if I tell you how I do my job and I give you it, then they won't need me and maybe I will be let go? Have you ever met anybody like this?
I have. I definitely have. Yep. The higher end, and like you talked about before, the higher end, definitely. They don't want to give that up.
That's right. And that's the idea of the Yorkie. Like our little Yorkie that we had, little Zoe, who I loved, she had been neglected. She'd been neglected and left in a cage. And she had a horrible childhood before she came to us, puppyhood. But the thing is, when we got her, it was really hard to break that. For her to realize this is safe, it's okay. You don't have to hoard stuff. We're going to give things to you. We're going to give you toys and stuff. It's that idea that, you know, people, they have a past. And we want to let them feel safe in our presence as a leader. No, regardless of what our name tag says, we always want to show up as that leader. And then this idea behind neuroplasticity is we talk about our brain's first goal is for us to survive, to see another day. So we're continually looking to protect ourselves. When we recognize that that's our brain's goal for us, recognize that every other person, their brain is doing the same thing for them. Their brain is never going to be concerned about you. It's just not. Their brain is going to be concerned about that person. So the goal is for us to be able to say, we're a safe space and be vulnerable enough to be able to say, I'm here to help you. I'm here to let you and your brain know that I'm not going to be a threat. I'm here to see what I can do so that we can work together. And also recognize when you might be the pit bull or the Yorkie. Recognize when you might have those tendencies to do things that are not as good. And I can completely relate to this because I remember in my world way back when I had a report that I created and that I was responsible for. And then it came up that somebody else should be cross-trained on doing that report. And I remember feeling like, wait a minute, what that means you're not going to have me do it? You don't need me. You want me to give all my knowledge to somebody else? Somebody else is going to do that? That means I'm not going to get paid? Somebody else is taking over part of my job? Like that threat of that, because my brain's saying, that might be bad. That might be a bad thing for you. That's okay for us to recognize that. Recognize those times where you could be a little bit better, or recognize that it's a paper tiger. And we kind of will be talking about this more when we do our series on positive neuroplasticity, but recognize that it's okay. It's a paper tiger. It doesn't mean just because I give you this one report for cross training that we're going to lose our job. So it's that idea. And so Kathleen, I have to ask, is there times where you've kind of recognized theirs or your ways in your job to be like, oh, by the way, yeah, I know that I kind of was like this and I actually course corrected?
Oh, definitely. You have to fill out, well, your job description. It all depends on where you're working to in your environment. Definitely. I have definitely felt that. And learning in your own way, you know, if it works, that you could coexist. Definitely.
Yep. Yeah. Because again, we can be just as defensive. We can have those moments and being able to, we can always feel the feeling. We always want to feel the feeling that's inside of us. I'm frustrated. I'm fearful. Whatever that feeling is, feel that feeling. And then when the thought behind it comes, that's where you want to question that thought. Is this true? How much truth is in this thought right now that I'm having? And then that's kind of where we can recognize if we need to say, but that's really not true. My brain's trying to protect me. I'm trying to defend myself, but do I really need to defend myself as much as I am? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But asking that. And then lastly, we have the poodles in the workplace. We love the poodles in the workplace because there's this love, and they, every time we walk in the room, their eyes light up. And every time we see them, we get excited that they're there. And I want us to really appreciate who those people are. These are the guys that kind of give us the strength that we need each day, and why we love our job sometimes, and why we appreciate and we are feeling appreciated. And note that you're probably treating them differently than the other people because of that great relationship. So gather and notice to yourself that you're more confident, you're relaxed because of the expectation that you're feeling from them. What can you do to borrow some of that? And when you have that interaction with them and you're feeling confident and relaxed and strong, that's the time to say, you know what? I'm feeling such a good mood right now. Let me tackle a small conversation with a pit bull or a Yorkie, because I'm feeling like I'm feeling strong enough that I can call up Susie Q in accounting and say, hey, Susie Q, you know, I know that I've asked for this report a couple of times and I haven't been able to get it. I just wanted to ask, what can we do in order that I can get that report the way I need? What do you need from me? And take that really goodness that you're using, take it to be able to tackle something on the other side when you're feeling strong about it. Because what we do want to do is we want to recognize that we are in a community, and especially at work, those kind of conversations might be difficult. But the thing that's really amazing is because we get to pull a Groundhog Day, and we get to, even if we have a bad conversation, we get to go back in again and we get to kind of fix it. We have that opportunity because we keep having those people in our world, and it is an opportunity for growth. You know, it's an opportunity for us to grow and to learn about ourselves. And that's kind of a blessing in disguise in a way, because like Groundhog Day, we get a second try. The same situation is going to arrive. The next day we see, oh, yep, she's going to do it again to me. Here she is. My call to action to you today is respond differently. Respond differently and see that goodness within you. Because my ending line is this: your value does not rely on somebody else's perception. I'm going to say that again. Your value is not dictated by how somebody perceives you. And I want you to feel that value that you have regardless of how somebody else is. Because again, their brain is doing their job for them and trying to protect them based on their experiences. And our goal is for us to show up, wear our hat, show up humble, show up authentic, and show up transparent every single day, regardless. Okay. So that is my story of the day. So I have to ask, did that relate to you a little bit, Kathleen, based on your past experience?
Oh, yeah. It puts a lot of things into perspective. You broke it down beautifully. I really like this segment a lot, Anne.
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. And like I said, for me, I know every time I see those different types of dogs, I'm going to think of this.
Oh, definitely. I wrote down each one of their names.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is true. Like, we each have our own perception, and we each have kind of our own persona and of how we see the world.
Yep.
And recognizing that just because we all see it differently, we still need to always be showing up the same regardless of how somebody else is.
And my favorite is the poodle.
Yeah. I know. I love the poodles. And again, those are the people that give us strength, and recognizing, do they recognize and see that, and really maximizing and using that. But if that's the time that we show up authentically, we just want to take some of that authenticity and bring it in to the other situations a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because living our best selves.
Yep, to help each other out. There you go. That is the goal. I love it. Great stuff, Anne. Always. You always bring it to the table.
Absolutely. Well, it's a pleasure. And I really look forward to our next podcast together.
All right, honey. Well, you have a wonderful day as always. Get out there. Enjoy everything. You've been listening to Anne Canfield, Finding Strength, right here on the Chill Factor Radio. You could check out so much more just by going over to thechillfactor.net. Anne's got you covered with great stuff. Have a wonderful day, Anne.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.